Let's take our Bibles, turn over to Mark chapter 9. We're going to start at Mark chapter 9. Look down at verse 42 is where we'll begin at. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. If you look at that word fire there, Jesus believed in fire and hell. And he points out there that fire shall never be quenched. When we see a fire blaze up around here, I believe we have some of the best volunteer fire department in the world right here in this area. And they get there quickly, and they do something immediately. You know what it is? They want to quench that fire, get it out. But he says about this fire in hell, it shall never be quenched. There's never going to come a time in which fire in hell is going to go out. There's not going to come a time when God's wrath shall cease from keeping that fire going on those that reject his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and chose sin over Jesus. But he says something here in verse 44, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And then it says in verse 45, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. And he says again, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter in the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Over the years, I've heard some absolutely absurd things about what people have said goes on in hell. One of them is that there's going to be a party in hell. Due to the fire, the party has been canceled. There will be no party in hell.
Right.
According to the Word of God, if we were to try to find the dimensions of hell, how big it is, it's only as big as the people there. God never made it big enough for there would be any room to move around. They're all mushed up together and always there suffering. And we look also into the fact of hell about where hell is. And I've heard people try to say, well, you can't prove to me that such and such the hell's in the middle of the earth and all that. I can tell you exactly where hell is. It is at the end of a Christ-rejecting life. No matter where the GPS coordinates may be at, it's at the end of a Christ-rejecting life.
Right.
And I'm going to preach to you today on what you lose in hell. What you lose in hell. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you today, God, and we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive. And we pray, God, that you'll help us today during this message. Lord God, that you'll work on our hearts and lives. You'll help us, Lord God, and teach us the truth and the Word of God. We pray you'll give us understanding according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you just move and do a great work, Lord, and help us today. Help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. We ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we look today about what you lose in hell, I want you to mark your place here at Mark chapter 9. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We're going to look at the things that you'll lose in hell, what you will actually lose in hell. Revelation chapter 20. The picture that stands before us in Revelation chapter 20 is at the end of the millennial reign. In verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. This is all the lost people. Now, they said, we don't believe in tithing. Guess what? Them books mentioned right there is the books of the Bible. You'll be judged on all 10% throughout your entire life, whether you tithed or not. So I didn't believe in it. It doesn't matter. If you die without Christ and your sin's not paid for, you're judged for that. You're judged on everything in those books, church attendance, how you treated others, what you said, every word will be brought into account. That's this judgment right here for lost people. And he says there the books were open. That's the books of the Bible. And he says there that the book of life's open. If you notice in verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So the fire shall not be quenched. It's just coming right up there in front of God with you. It's going to be an awful picture that day at the great white throne judgment when the lost people come up out of hell, and hell comes up with them. They're burning and suffering right there in front of God Almighty and the entire universe of saved people. They'll be judged according to their works. The death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, not what everybody else did or said. Well, I went to church for them hypocrites. No, you the hypocrite.
Come on.
You get listen. We go on your merit now on this judgment right here. It's on your merit, and you will not make it. He says in verse 14, though, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, this is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The first thing you lose in hell, I might want to point out to you, is this: freedom.
Yeah.
Right now, you have the freedom to breathe in and out. You have the freedom to go wherever you want to. You have the freedom to do a lot of things, and you have freedom to come, you have freedom to go, you have freedom to make choices. And while you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, what about them people in a foreign country that's under dictator? We're not talking about them. We're talking about you.
That's right.
And the freedom that you enjoy in this country and the freedom that you enjoy in all free countries around the world, you lose that in hell immediately. Because once you go there, there is no more freedom. You don't have freedom to move about the cabin. You don't have freedom to go to the store. You don't have freedom to take a break. You don't have freedom to take a nap. You don't have freedom to make a choice on what you'll do that day. All of that is taken away. And he says literally right there that this is the second death. Your freedom's gone. The freedom you once had to choose what you wanted to do in life is gone. It's all over by that point. That's what you lose in hell. So where's hell? This is the end of a Christ-rejecting life.
Right.
And the first thing you'll be without is your freedom.
Right.
You'll get to hell and realize something. It's not pleasant there. The party is canceled. You'll never see your friends. It's a place of outer darkness. Once you get there and you're suffering and torments and burning day and night, you'll not know whether it's day nor whether it's night. You won't have the freedom to look at a watch. You won't have the freedom to look at a calendar. You won't have the freedom to check how many days you've been there. You just know it's the ultimate suffering that you'll never get away from. This is the second death. He says about that thing, he says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Who are those people? Well, whether they're locked up in prison in a third world country under a dictator in America, the people's names are written there have freedom. That freedom comes in Christ. We have freedom from him because he is liberty. And when we lose that, what's so sad is that we look at how their name was not written in the book of life. It wasn't erased. It wasn't written there. What did they choose? They choose a life of sin. They said, listen, I'm not going to be bound by no rules where I can't drink beer if I want to every once in a while. I'll not be saddled down and you where you'll say, I can only drink a glass of wine when I my dinner. I'm not going to give up all that. You won't have to worry about it one day. That'll be taken from you.
Right.
You won't have the freedom to sin at that point in time. But what's so sad is you don't realize you're in bondage now.
Right.
You're bound to that thing. I see he said there, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Hey, listen, hell that's already burning is cast in the lake of fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Not only do you lose your freedom in hell, but secondly, listen to this one, you lose your identity in hell. We read three times in the book of Mark, look over there in verse 44, 46, and 48. He warned five times about the fire there, and three times he says this, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, verse 44. Verse 46, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 48, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You lose your identity in hell. Do you know that if you go out right now and you decide you want to become a cat person, and you pick you out a cat. Cats, all of them are evil.
Yeah.
But they all have an identity. I've never seen two that really acted alike. I got the most craziest cat in the world because I grew up watching cartoons, and when you'd throw the cat in water, he'd basically bounce off of it, didn't want to be in it. Our cat plays in water. I fuss at him every day. Every day we've had him. I've learned to wear shoes in my house at all times because you walk through the kitchen, there'll be water in the floor. First time it happened, I thought, well, the dishwasher's broke. Something's happened. That stupid cat. He's all black but one little white spot, and we put a white collar on him and call him Father. Because he likes to sprinkle all the time in the water. Goes right with the territory. But he has an identity. He don't act like any other cats I've had. We got another cat. I forget her real name. We call her Fat Girl Cat. She's fat and she's a girl. She's a fat girl cat. She don't act like that other one. Neither one of them acted like the one we did have. Just different. They're all got identities. I've had a dog all my life at some point or another. We used to raise Dobermans when I was a kid. I've had a pit bull, and I've had mutts galore. And I couldn't tell you two of them that acted alike. From Cocker Spaniel to Lassie, they all got an identity. They're all different. But he didn't say their dog dieth not. He said their worm dieth not. You may never have looked up worms or saw worms, but the worms he's referring to is like where they're all the same. They look the same. If I were to hang my dog out to fish with him, I'd remember my dog. He is the dog that did such and such, or she is the dog that did such and such. But when I reach my hand under that old worm, get a worm out and put him on the hook, there's no identifying markings on him. They're all the same. Why do you think Jesus said their worm dieth not? Because you lose your identity in hell. See, you spend a lifetime making a name for yourself, good or bad. A lot of folks make a name in fame, or infame, or infamous, or something like that. They do something bad, and they become known for that. They do something good, they're known for that. They run for president, and they're known for losing, or known for winning, any of that stuff. I like to see people who have a sense of humor, even when they lose. Do you remember Al Gore that invented the internet? About 10 years after he ran for president, he got up on a stage with Bob Dole and said, "Hi, I'm Al Gore, your next president." Everybody just busted out laughing, and he did too, because that's what he'd introduce himself when he was giving a speech. He gets the humor of the thing. I lost. But that's what he'll be known for. For foolishly, in a statement saying he invented the internet, "Hi, I'm Al Gore, your next president," and he never got elected. There are people in your life right now who their identity is so much part of your life that they have an influence on you. But here's something. You have such an influence on people, your identity has an influence on them. But in hell, you lose all that. There is no identity in hell. They don't have roll call in hell. They don't have bed check in hell. There's no checkup to see if anybody's escaped because none get out. And when you lose your identity, you've lost everything you've got. If you were to walk up one day and on the internet saw where you'd just purchased a $200,000 home, you'd be surprised, wouldn't you? You know what that means? Somebody stole your identity. Now, through a good lawyer and the laws that's based on that stuff, you can get all that back, I suppose. But in hell, you'll get nothing back. You lose your identity. The literal person of who you are, nobody will care. Right now, somebody cares about you. Right now, there's people that's probably prayed for you, prayed for God to save you, prayed for God to do a work in your life, prayed for your health at some point in time. But in hell, there'll be none of that because your identity's gone. You'll just be another lost soul in hell where your worm dieth not. Yeah. The United Methodist Church changed their hymn books a while back because they didn't like to be referred to as worms. They changed the Standard Methodist hymn book, and I forget what they put in the place of it, but I know where all the hymn books wound up. They wound up in prisons and in trash cans because that's the only people that take them. See, when a man's sitting in prison, he ain't got a hard time figuring out he's a sinner. And when he gets saved, he don't mind singing "For Such a Worm as I." But you get these people outside of prison and think they better than something like that, "I ain't no worm." You will be. you and your religious pomp and circumstance, you will be. That's where your worm dieth not. You'll never have an identity there. We'll never have to worry about your good name. You will never have to worry about your bad name. You won't have one. In hell, there'll be nobody that rules in hell.
Right.
I heard one time in some kind of mythology, there's some kind of 7 or 10 demons or something that rule the different realms of hell. There's none of that there.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, listen, once you go to hell, that's where your worm dies. Not nobody knows who you are. Nobody cares. I see that you lose all that in hell. I looked up a phrase this week that I was studying. It was called, in Christ Jesus, and it occurs 40 times in the Bible. And I want us to look at a couple of those. Look over at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3. Look down at verse 26 here. Out of these 40 occurrences, here's one of them. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. He's talking to a church, or the churches of the region of Galatia. These folks have had faith in Christ Jesus. They've gotten saved. And when we see in Christ Jesus, we know for a fact, that's talking about folks that's been born again, correct? All right, if you look over in Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3. We've been preparing our hearts and our heads and everything else with these verses in Romans. And we see down at verse 24. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know what you lose in hell? You lose redemption. You lose redemption. You see, the path that you could have been on where Christ paid for your sin, when you go to hell, you lose that. What I'm saying is, literally, there are no second chances after death. There is no post-payment plan that somebody could put you on that would say that, you know, well, when I die, my relatives will pay me out of hell. I'm sorry, they ain't got enough money. Because what redemption cannot be bought with a price. It was already paid for. And listen, he's already bought you. He's already paid the price. He's redeemed those that are lost. If you die and go to hell, you die with your ticket paid.
Right.
He says the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That lets us know there's only one way in. And that phrase occurring in Christ Jesus, if you look down at Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are, here it is, in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation, exactly. But if you reject Christ, you lose that right there. You lose the fact that you've rejected God's payment for your sin. You lose the fact that the no condemnation could have applied to you. But when you go to hell, you lose redemption. You can't be redeemed now. You're a worm. No identity. You literally have lost all your freedom. You've lost your identity and you've lost redemption. The very thing that Jesus Christ come and suffered, bled, and died for to pay your sins, you've lost all hope of that right there. When somebody goes to hell, they go to hell with their eyes wide open. They never sleep again. They suffer constantly. Why? Because they rejected the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Here's a sad thing. People go to church and listen to messages like this, yep, and they say, I'll do it later. There'll be no do-it-laters or do-overs
right
after that.
Right.
Some of you, bless your hearts, when you play video games and you lose, you reset the thing. Do-over! No do-overs in hell. I wished I would have. Not in hell you won't. It's over. There is no soul sleep. There is no annihilation in hell. You suffer there constantly.
Right.
I remember one time one of these no-helling cults came to hear me preach, and they were sitting on about the first or second row, and I spotted them, and I thought, They'll never hear this again. So I preach from creation all the way down to the end of the millennial reign, all the way in about 30 minutes time. Bothered them. They went out and bought a case of beer when they left church that night. Nerves tore all to pieces. You don't have to worry about it then. There'll be no beer in hell. There'll be no whiskey in hell. There'll be no dinner glass of wine in hell. No redemption in hell. You lose that there. Look over at Luke chapter 16. Probably the most famous passage on hell in a Baptist church is Luke chapter 16. And in Luke chapter 16, we have the picture of a rich man dying without Christ. We have a picture of a poor beggar that got saved and didn't have much in this life. And if you'll start at verse 19, it'll tell this whole story. There was a certain man, rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Notice it never mentions his name. Why? He's already in hell. He's lost his identity. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Why is his name written here? Well, his name's written in the book of life. Right. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He didn't get, listen, when they had this man's funeral, they buried him. They stood around the grave and they said good things about him, probably. While in his lifetime he did this or did this. And they looked over at him and they viewed his body in the casket at the family viewing and the receiving of friends. They missed their daddy, their friend, their husband. And contrary to popular belief, his ghost wasn't there watching all this. When he died, he went to hell right then. You won't be lingering around haunting people. There'll be no spirit of you out to trouble your in-laws or outlaws or your relatives or your children or your parents or whatever. There'll be none of that. No matter how you die, whether it's by murder, suicide, whatever it is, or a natural death, so-called, I think they're all unnatural because, listen, that thing was death passed upon all men for all of sin, so we've all earned that thing, haven't we? But listen to this. There'll be none of it. There won't be no, well, that person didn't die right. We've got to help their spirit move on. That is a lie. Yeah. When you die, you're going to where you're going. If you're saved, the Bible said to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But if you die like this man, you'll live. Your second death will be just like his. In hell, it says. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in what? His worm dieth not. The fire is not quenched. And he said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Boy, he believes in fire and hell, don't he? And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that there would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So he said, there's no way out. We're separated now. But watch. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would ascend into my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. One of the things you lose in hell is evangelism. Evangelism. So what's evangelism? That's telling the good news of Jesus Christ so that sinners may get saved. There's a lot of folks of this day, they scoff at evangelism. One day they'll be soul winners, but it'll be too late. This rich man died without Christ. He's in hell. He's burning. He's in torments. He's wanting one drop of water. And somebody said one time, well, at least he had the whereabouts enough to realize he didn't want nobody else to come there. Read the text again. He was worried about himself first. Bring me some water. Bring me some water. Do something for me. Oh, and then go do something for my family. You lose that in hell. Sure way to know where your heart really is whether you want something for you or something to give to somebody else. Do you identify with this man? you'll be an evangelist like he is too in hell. Because you'll die selfish, die in hell and be in the second death and be there, and you'll be praying for him to send back somebody. Go talk to my sisters. Go talk to my brothers. Go talk to my children. Lord, send somebody out there. And God's going to say, I'm not answering your prayer. There is no evangelism for you in hell. I'm not going to honor your missionary prayer. You never prayed one on that side of the grave. I will not honor it here. Torment day and night. A world, as you can see, coming into hell all the time, that you'll know is coming in there because hell keeps expanding itself. And you realize that of all the thousands and thousands of souls that go in there every day, that there's no evangelism in hell. There's no Romans Road in hell.
That's right.
There's no sinner's prayer in hell.
Amen.
There is no evangelism. There's no outreach they're trying to get together so people don't come there.
Yeah.
This is their final stop. And that's four things you've lost in hell. Mm. Freedom. Your identity, who you are. You've lost redemption and you've lost evangelism. F-I-R-E. Don't tell me there's not fire in hell. That very word identifies by an acrostic four things we lose in hell if we die without Christ. Now let me ask you a very important question. Are you willing to walk out that door, or that door, knowing these things are on the line right now? See, you have freedom right now. You have freedom of a choice right now of heaven and hell. You've got the freedom to choose that. You have an identity. We know who you are. You know who we are. Willing to lose all that to be a worm? So those things are disgusting. Exactly. That's what God thinks about that and how he lets people go when they turn down his son, that they lose their individuality and become just something like that.
Yeah.
Are you willing to walk out on redemption? My goodness, I had we was in a place the other day, and we was in there, and I think it was a pizza place, and we're sitting there eating, and for some reason, somebody paid our bill. Well, how stupid would I have been to walk over and say, no, I can't receive that. Here, you've got to run my card, too. I've got to pay my own way. We're prideful like that, ain't we? Need to humble yourself and let Christ pay your redemption. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How's your missions giving coming? Are you like you're going to start giving it in hell? Do you pray for lost souls? Do you pray for God to save sinners? I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, well, they don't say in the Bible nowhere to do that. It says for kings and all of their authority in one place, prayer for all men in another. I'm sure lost people's in there somewhere. You pray for them? Do you ever get to the point where you weep over people dying and going to hell? Or is that just another word you use out of context?
No.
See, we have a missions conference every year. People try to duck and dodge that thing.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm out there and raise a commitment card, so I won't have to. You'll be wanting to fill out one in hell.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be wanting people to get saved then. You may be thinking about you now, but you'll think about others after you think about yourself in hell the first time. Then you'll start thinking about others.
Yes,
hey, listen, you're losing all that.
Yep.
Are you willing to walk out these doors and lose them things forever? Because there is no coming back from this. There is no do-over. There is no second chance. Are you willing to come back? Listen, hey, if I wound up in hell, I wouldn't want nobody there either. I see everybody they show when they pull back that curtain and show this, nobody wants to be there. But it's too late. Is it too late for you today? No, you're still breathing. Why don't you, listen, while Christ is speaking in your heart and the Holy Ghost is drawing you to Christ, why don't you get saved today? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.